Hi everyone, and thank you again for joining us in another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is the author of the upcoming book in the Concise Advice series, The Strengths Book, Sally Bibb. How are you today, Sally?
Very well, thanks, Miro. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you here in the studio for today's episode. And for our listeners, Sally is the founding director of Engaging Minds, a specialist strengths consultancy. Her background is in international organizational change and development within the regions of Europe, USA, Latin America, and Asia. Before setting up Engaging Minds, she was the director at The Economist Group, which is the publisher of The Economist magazine. And we're very happy to have you here again once again. But without further delay, let's just get into today's podcast, Sally. And my first question is the one I ask everyone that comes here and joins us, and that is, what inspired you to become an author?
Well, I have lots of things I want to say and put out into the world, mostly things that are going to help people and organisations. So this was a great opportunity with the Strengths book because in the last few years since setting up Engaging Minds, I've seen how powerful the approach is, not just for business, but in schools, you know, with young people, students, with older people who want to make career changes, are unhappy with what they do. So the Strengths approach is very, very powerful, but not yet very well known. So I've written the book in order to get the word out there and to help people in a practical way.
Right. And we're all very excited to actually get our hands on the book and see what the methodology is all about. But can you, for our listeners, give us a bit about the background of what the Strengths approach is and why is it so important?
Sure. So let me give you a definition to start with. So when I'm talking about a strength, that is something that somebody's naturally good at, that they love doing, and that they're energized by. And the thing about the strengths is most of us don't know what our strengths are. And even if we have an inkling of what they are, we tend to take ourselves for granted a bit. So what can happen is that organisations, schools sometimes, can inadvertently try and make people into something they're not. And we actually know from the neurobiology that we are who we are by the time we're about 15 years old. So for example, let's say that you're in a sales job, and to be great at that sales job, you need to be naturally competitive. If you're a naturally competitive person, that's great. It's going to be easy. It's going to give you a buzz. If you're not naturally competitive, then no amount of coaching or training will make you into a competitive person. So it's all about helping people to really understand what their natural strengths are, help them to develop their strengths and stretch themselves in the direction of their strengths. That's where most of the opportunity lies. Now, that's not to say ignore our weaknesses, because we all have them, you know, we're all human. The question that I pose to people is, which weaknesses have you got that matter in relation to what you're trying to do at work or in your studies? And once you know which weaknesses matter, let's figure out strategies for how you can mitigate those weaknesses. And often you can use your strengths to mitigate your weaknesses. But the real opportunity lies with people's strengths. And if you think about football teams, you know, in fact, you know, in sports generally, what good sports coaches do is they really understand in detail what the athlete's strengths are, and they try and maximize those strengths as much as possible. You know, they don't put a good goalie as a defender on the football pitch. They make them into an even better goalie.
Yeah, unless you're, you know, 96 minutes in and you have about 30 seconds to equalize. But again, that's not something that we often see. And actually, what you say there is very interesting, because what sticks out for me in my mind is the fact that by focusing on people's strengths and bringing out the best of their side, as a matter of fact, they can become more fulfilled and then they can function better and do their jobs better. And then that can actually translate into well-being within their personal life as well. And I think that's something that we don't focus enough on, how our job can actually impact us outside of work hours. And it seems that many people do take work with them outside of their office or whatever they may work. And I think this is very important. But as we touched very briefly upon the idea of weakness, And we very often focus on that when it comes in the workplace. And it's a common practice in business when it comes to reviews or even giving feedback. Now, as we've talked about this, this seems to be a rather odd thing to say to people, you know, you are not good at X or Y. Why is this happening? And what is the outcome when we take this approach?
It's a very good question. There's a couple of answers to that question. The first one goes back to primitive man. So we are programmed as human beings to have a negativity bias because we have to be alert to risks to our environment. However, that's obviously less useful in the modern day world. And I think culturally as well, some cultures more than others, but culturally we are programmed to look for what's not working in order to fix it. Clearly it's important to know what's not working, but when it comes to human beings, you do get the best out of them when you focus on what they're doing well. That is where organisational and individual performance becomes excellent. If you just focus on fixing weaknesses, you can get to average or mediocre performance at best. And so I think it's unconscious. You know, managers probably do it unconsciously. They probably focus on weaknesses because that's the way they've always been taught how to do it. And there's just an unwritten assumption that that is how you improve people, and it's completely wrong.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing when you actually put it into perspective, and then things that I guess should be coming naturally to us are actually very easily forgotten about, and then end up focusing on something which isn't that important. But I want us to move forward and actually talk about strengths themselves, and what impact can strengths have? What can they do to you if we know them? And what can they do in terms for business and organizations if they know their people's strengths? How can we translate this to our benefit?
Well, one of the reasons I love working in this field, Miro, is because the number of people who say to me, this has changed my life and this has changed my kids' life. Knowing about strengths and how important they are, it builds people's confidence. It helps them to know what the right track is for them, whether it's choosing what studies to do, what kind of job to do, what projects to volunteer for. As you were saying earlier, it not only improves their performance, because if you think about it, it's common sense. If you're doing something that's natural to you, that you love doing on a day-to-day basis, there's a buzz. You flow with it. You want to be there. It doesn't feel like a chore at all. So your well-being improves. Your co-workers are happier because it's nicer to work with happy co-workers. Your resilience improves because it's incredibly stressful being in a job where you know you're a round peg in a square hole. So one of the reasons I love this work is it's a win-win-win. So it's a win for individuals, whether they're in companies or whether they're studying. It's a win for the organisations, their employers, and it's a win for their customers. Because if you, whether you're going to a coffee shop or you're working with a colleague in an office or wherever, you can tell if somebody is in the right job for them. And that rubs off, and it's a much more enjoyable experience all around. So, and now, of course, this approach has been used by forward-thinking organisations for probably getting on 15 years. So it's very well documented. The data, the quantitative as well as the qualitative data is well documented, which is why so many organisations now are starting to adopt the approach.
Great. And for our listeners, I like to focus a bit about the book, and I like to sort of tie up everything that we've talked about, and that is, how do you hope the Strengths book will actually help people? We've jumped on many different topics, but if you would like to sort of give us an overall aspect of how us picking up this book will change the way we look at strengths.
So the idea of the book is a practical guide that you can work through, and it's divided into a few sections. The first section explains what are strengths and why are they important. The next section has got lots of exercises in it that appeal to different kinds of people. And you work through that section, and at the end of it, you know what your strengths are, and you also know what your motivators and your values are. And then the last section is all about how can I apply those in different areas of my life, whether it be studies, work, writing a CV, writing a personal statement for university. If you're a parent, how can you apply it to help your kids? If you're going into retirement, how can you make the most of your retirement by knowing your strengths? And finally, and very importantly, how can you use your strengths to improve your relationships?
Great. And actually, before we move on, I'd like to ask you a bit of an off-cut question, actually, because you've mentioned a lot of very positive things that we can achieve by working on our strengths. But in your personal experience, have you seen a particular sector or a particular type of person that has really benefit from it? Because you've had the privilege to work with many different people across many different organizations in different cultures. Is there one that you think has very much benefited more so than all the others?
I wouldn't say so. I think because people are people. People benefit in different ways. Some people benefit by suddenly realizing, wow, I am in the right job, and it gives them a renewed sense of assurance about that. We've seen many young people whose confidence has been boosted by doing this approach. In fact, a guy said to me not that long ago, he said, "Sally, but this is a middle class preserve, isn't it? You know, only middle class lucky people can do jobs that really fit with them and that they get a lot of personal fulfillment from." And my response was, absolutely not at all. You know, we've worked with people who are carers, who are baristas in coffee shops, who are on minimum wage, people in call centres. And if you think about it, we're all human beings. We've all got a set of unique strengths. We've all got something we can bring to the world. So it's a universal application.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, following on that, I think it is a very good question, like you said in that small case study of someone bringing up a question to the table. You know, is this a middle class thing? But I think that's an interesting approach, because if you do focus on your strengths and you do decide to work on them and improve yourself, the whole point is that at the end you will be better off yourself. You will end up being more productive. You will end up getting more out of your daily life. And in that sense, you will perhaps move on to whatever your idea of a middle class is, or perhaps you'll improve yourself, whether it is outside of work or inside of work. So I think what you say is actually very important, that you can apply this to all different situations and all different kinds of people. And what you put in is what you take out. And as a very famous saying goes, whether you are or whether you are not, that's probably true. And it's completely up to you. But I would like to actually wrap off with the question that I ask everyone that comes on the podcast here. And that's, what are you currently reading?
I will answer that question. Before I do, can I just say one more thing about the last question?
Yes, absolutely.
So a chief exec recently said to me, when I was talking to him about his organisation and we were introducing a strengths approach to selection for him, and I asked him what impact it was having that they've got very high staff turnover, and he said, financially and emotionally, it's having a massive impact. And I said, what do you mean? Because I'd never heard a chief exec use the word emotionally before in that context. And he said, if one of our people is in the wrong job, it affects them a lot because they're going home unhappy. It affects their families. It affects those they're working with. It affects their customers. It's got such a strong ripple effect. So he said, from an emotional point of view, I don't want people who aren't right for the job. I want people that are happy and well suited, which I thought was fantastic, and you know, made me want to work with him even more.
Yeah, I think the very notion of, and perhaps I'm being a bit stereotypical here, but saying emotions when it comes to such a data-driven and numbers sector and all the work involved in there and all the long hours, I think actually having that emotional strength and backing from the employer is what will really separate the good from the excellent. And let's get back to the final question here.
The final question.
Yeah, what are you currently reading?
So I'm reading two books. I normally have a few on the go at the moment. Fiction wise, I'm reading Swimming Lessons by Claire Fuller. If anybody hasn't read it, I highly recommend it. Why do I like that book? It's why I like many books. It's about people. I'm endlessly fascinated by people, as you can probably tell by this interview. The other book I'm reading for the second time is Originals by Adam Grant. He did a lot of research into what makes entrepreneurs creative and risk takers and all the rest of it. And I highly recommend that book as well. Again, it's about people, what makes them tick.
Great. And we can include links in the description below where you can go and actually find out more about these books if you want to get your fix of fiction reading, or perhaps you would like to stay on course with nonfiction and some business. But with that, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today, Sally. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, for our listeners, if you would like to know more about what we talked about today, the Strengths Approach, the Strengths Book, and Sally's work, all relevant links will be in the description below where you can click and you can find out more. And we thank you very much once again for joining us on this week's episode of Lid Radio, and we look forward to seeing you again.